Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today I'm here with Tiffany Reinitz, and we're going to be talking about healing with Ayurvedic medicine. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. In each episode, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer. I am editor-in-chief of Minnesota Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide. I am passionate about all things yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today, my guest is Tiffany Reinitz, and she is a board-certified Ayurvedic health counselor, an Ayurvedic practitioner, and level one certified Kundalini yoga instructor. Additionally, she is a Reiki master and holds a certificate in complementary and alternative therapies from the Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota. For Tiffany and her family, Ayurveda has become foundational for how to live the best life possible, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as well. Tiffany practices yoga not only as a physical exercise, but primarily to embrace the lifestyle and philosophy behind the vast and ancient teachings. She is the owner of Om Shanti Wellness, a healing practice focused on Ayurvedic consultations, Reiki, Kundalini yoga, meditation, and handcrafted herbal wellness products. She is a mother to two amazing daughters and is married to her wonderful husband, Mark. Welcome to the podcast, Tiffany. So happy to have you here.
Thanks, Amy. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I think a great place to start it would be by just having you give like a good overview of what is Ayurveda. You know, we were talking before we started recording, and you mentioned how a lot of people just don't even know what it means. Like, we hear the word, but we don't know what it is. So maybe giving a really great definition of what it even means.
Sure. Yeah. And just feel free to stop me along the way if you want me to clarify something or didn't go into depth into another topic or whatever it is that I'm explaining. So basically, I mean, I heard this word Ayurveda for the first time about 20 years ago, and I'm like, what in the world? This is the weirdest sounding word. And it was through a class.
Hard to spell.
It's hard to spell. I had to like just repetition. And I was in a class at the University of Minnesota Center for Spirituality and Healing. And one of their little tidbit is I'm a pharmacist, which kind of gives it an interesting spin to all this. And so I was taking classes during pharmacy school, and it was an intro class to Ayurveda and just other healing modalities. And when I learned about what it was, it really just blew my mind. I mean, it was kind of like my life before Ayurveda and my life after learning the principle. So basically, Ayurveda is the world's oldest healing modality, science. It's actually a science. And it dates back over 5,000 years from what we have started counting, probably more. Right. And it originated from India. All other healing practices, even our Western medicine that we consider today as kind of the standard of medicine, still incorporate elements that can be traced back to Ayurveda, like some surgical instruments. And in Chinese medicine, they're very similar in their philosophy. So the whole paradigm of health and disease is completely different than what like the Western paradigm would be. So the very essence of Ayurveda, and I should back up and say Ayurveda and yoga evolved together. They are sister sciences, and then they kind of split off into their own branches. So a lot of a prerequisite for Ayurveda school was to be a yoga teacher, and so we can help people like with yoga postures, if it makes sense as a treatment. So the core essence of Ayurveda is based on the elements of earth, air, fire, water, and space. And those further break down into three doshas. So this is like the core of Ayurveda. A dosha or a constitution is describes something in its basic form. So I'm just going to go through them. So there's Vata, which comprise air and space. Pitta is fire and water, a little bit of water. And Kapha is earth and water. So the elements break down into those three doshas. Everybody has each dosha within us. They are essential for our bodily functions and processes. I'll just give you a few examples. Vata, if we think about, I mean, they have all have qualities associated with them. So, you know, wind is dry, it's quick, it's light. You know, these are the kind of things we think about. It's constantly moving, and it does create the most havoc in our bodies. Most diseases are due to Vata. But Vata is necessary for movement in our bodies. Blinking your eyes, childbirth, moving our lungs, our heart beating, all those kind of things need Vata. And then Pitta, you know, we think about the fire element. It's hot, it's intense, it's penetrating. Anything we digest in our body, even in the mind, our metabolic processes, hormones, all those things are Pitta. Kapha provides structure. So if we think of earth, it's cold and heavy, but it's also lubricating. So like the fluid in our joints, our physical body, our strength from Kapha. So it's essential that we have all these within us. But each person is born with their given constitution called your prakriti. And everybody may have it in different proportions. So for example, I'm Pitta predominant, Kapha second, but I still have Vata because I need Vata. So there may be people who think, oh, you know, that dosha is bad, I don't want to have that. But we all need all three to function. The interesting thing is, if I look at the next person who may be a Pitta Kapha dominant constitution, it may manifest differently. So like my Kapha shows up as sinus problems, my Pitta shows up as anger, whereas the next person, their Pitta may show up as heartburn and their Kapha may show up as depression. So in this way, each person is truly an individual. There's no two people the same. And so Ayurveda works to balance the doshas when they become out of balance, which is called our vikruti. So the goal is to bridge the gap to where you are naturally or where you were born. And it gets challenging because these doshas are not just our body or pertain to us. It's everything around us. Right. It's the seasons. We're getting into Vata season. So you see a lot of allergies, a lot of different things associated with Vata. It changes with our age. So as we age, there's dosha dependent age factors. It changes with the day. Each day is breaks up into the doshas. Where we live, in what part of the world, the foods we eat are associated with the doshas. So every single thing in our universe can be described in terms of the doshas. And so like increases like in Ayurveda, which is kind of the opposite of like, say, homeopathy. So the more Vata in the environment is going to create more Vata within yourself. And you need to take actions to balance that, so they don't become out of control, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard a lot about eating for your dasha, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm a Pitta Kapha as well. So maybe can you talk a little bit about that and the types of foods that you should eat or shouldn't eat for your dasha type?
For the dosha, yeah. This is where it's so individualized. It's hard to give a general overview of, like, you know, in the Western medicine, it's, you know, shows the plate and your vegetables here and you're this and that.
Right.
you know, vegetables are great for everybody. Every food, everybody should have all the types of food groups. But the way you're going to digest broccoli, for example, is going to be really hard for a Vata person because it creates a lot of space and air in the body. Same with beans. You know, they all, there's categories that are like, this food is more Pitta, this food is more Vata or Kapha. So, you know, and we can't just say in Ayurveda, oh, eat more vegetables. You know, we have to be very specific about what vegetable, how it's cooked. Raw vegetables, kind of, Ayurveda doesn't recommend raw vegetables a whole lot. Maybe more in the summer when it's more Pitta time and you're eat more easily to digest it, but it's really hard on the body. So, I mean, that's a general thing. We don't encourage ice in beverages. That's another general thing that can be applied to all people, but I can't say like specific foods for, you know, everybody. But I can say in terms of eating, because this is where we get a lot of bang for our buck in Ayurveda, is what we eat and how we eat it, when we eat it. For example, don't eat if you're angry. Don't eat if you're emotional. I've had this experience. The food does not digest well. Mm-hmm. Don't eat distracted. Don't eat while you're watching TV or on your device. You want to be focused and calm. And more importantly than what, I mean, what you eat is very important, but the times that you eat. So we want to be sure. So before I even get into food with clients, specific foods, I focus on the habits of around food. So being sure you're eating consistent meal times. So Vatas tend to kind of be grazers or just kind of, you know, forget to eat, or, you know, they're kind of more spacey in general, or their body is just not, you know, they don't feel like eating. So, but to balance that, eating specific times, like eating breakfast, you know, no later than 8 o'clock in the morning, eating lunch between 11 and 1, because that's Pitta time in the day, one of the Pitta times, and your body is most capable of digesting what you're taking in during that time. And then an earlier, lighter dinner. So eating supper by 6:30, maybe 7 is pushing it, but allowing a gap of at least 2 hours before you go to sleep, because you don't want to go to sleep with food in your stomach. So there are general things that can be applied to everybody, like in terms of the habits, but I'm not going to say, for example, oh, you should be vegetarian. Ayurveda doesn't, they treat meat as, you know, food is medicine. So meat may be good for one person, but Vatas may need it. So there's no like moral reason against meat. I'm vegetarian. That's my own choice. But yeah, all foods are treated in terms of the dosha and very individual. So it's kind of not a very direct answer, but it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the whole food is medicine. And, you know, I've seen some negative reaction to that phrase, which is interesting. But I really do believe food is how we can heal, by eating the right foods. And like you said, eating at the right way, right? And it's interesting how you said, like, not everybody, well, most of us shouldn't be eating raw veggies. And you just think of like, when you go to a party, there's always a veggie platter, right? With all the raw veggies. And not to mention the dip that you, you know, dip it in. But like you said, everybody's different. Everybody has to have a more individualized plan. And then the not having ice in our drinks. And that's so interesting, because I don't like ice in my drinks. I don't like cold anything. Water, I prefer room temperature. I keep my water not in the fridge. So it's interesting that that's always just kind of been intuitive to me in that way. And I don't actually really care for raw veggies. Like, a carrot is fine. But that's about all I really care for raw. I prefer all my veggies cooked.
Well, you're listening to your body. That's like,
yeah,
in Ayurveda, is to like pay attention to how you feel. And most of people are totally disconnected. You know, like I have clients that we ask a lot about bowel movements, and it tells us a lot about the body. And they're like, I don't even know when I poop. Like,
Your poop is important, people.
Yeah. So, you know, just getting people to be aware of their body, and also realizing that nobody's going to be perfect. I like the 70-30 rule. Yeah, I eat cooked veggies 70% of the time, but maybe I'll have a salad in the summertime. So being graceful with yourself and just, you know, it's more peace of mind too, and less stress on yourself. If you're like, oh my God, I have to be perfect all the time. Just most of the time is great.
Yeah. You know, and you just mentioned salads, and that just made me think of diet culture and how we've been taught like to eat salads, right? Like it's healthier somehow, even though you're probably putting half a bottle of salad dressing on it. you know, and it's just, you know, capitalism has really driven our diets in a lot of ways. And, you know, you even look at the, what's it called? The food triangle. Is that the right word?
Well, yeah. It used to be the food triangle. Now it's a plate. They like changed the whole thing. But yeah.
And I remember the big controversy when I was growing up. So probably like the early 80s, ketchup was considered a food group.
Yeah.
So the schools could check that box with ketchup.
I know. I remember that.
And now we look back and it's like ketchup's full of sugar. It had like two tablespoons of sugar, you know, in that little bit of ketchup you just put on your burger. So like a lot of us have been brought up with disordered eating based on that food chart and just what the schools were told to give us growing up, right? Yep. And those can be hard cycles to break.
Totally. I mean, it's so ingrained in us. And just like you said, how you're brought up. I mean, my dad's a dairy farmer and he's pretty kaffa. And so like to tell him to lay off his dairy, like, well, that's going to be tough.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dairy, I know, dairy and gluten and sugar, right, are like the top three inflammatory foods. And if we just would limit our intake of those alone, I think we'd see so many changes in our bodies and in diseases and illnesses. I know I went gluten-free about a year and a half ago. I knew I needed to. I just loved my bread and pasta. And so I'm a year and a half into it. And this allergy season, my allergies haven't been nearly as bad. And I thought it was interesting. I just like observed that earlier in the year. And then it wasn't until later in the summer that I put two and two together. And I'm like, I bet you the fact that I'm no longer eating gluten also is playing a part into not having as much of an allergy reaction this summer.
That's really interesting you bring that up, because allergies, according to Ayurveda, is things that you're not able to process. And if somebody, so Ayurveda focuses a lot on gut health. And this is what we call our digestive fire. It's related to Pitta, but it's different, but they're very intertwined. And if you can't digest something, it's going to show up as allergies and fatigue and, you know, all these
heartburn.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Ayurveda doesn't specifically have anything against gluten. There's actually a book called Eat Wheat by an Ayurvedic doctor. But the premise is you need to get your gut health optimized before you can process some of those things. So cutting out gluten or dairy might be a recommendation I would make for certain people, just to get their bodies optimized for digestion, and then maybe later reintroduce it and see how it goes. But yeah, your observation is great.
And I think there's a lot to be said about U.S. wheat.
100%.
And the way it's farmed and the pesticides. Like, I know a lot of people who are gluten intolerant, but they can go to Europe and eat bread and croissants.
Yeah. And I've even talked about this with a friend of mine in India, and she said gluten intolerance is not even a thing. Like, people don't experience that.
Yep. So it's definitely a U.S. thing. And it's unfortunate. And I think, you know, you talk about your body telling you, you know, it doesn't like something and it manifests as an allergy or heartburn or whatever that might be. And we've been told that that's normal. Gas is normal, bloating's normal, heartburn's normal, but it's not. It's your body telling you something. Yep. And we have been taught for so long that it's normal. And I have a good friend who we've been trying to get her to go gluten-free. And she's like, I've eaten it my whole life. I'm fine. I don't react to it. And it's like, but I think you are.
Just try it. Know?
And I know now since I've cut it out, I cheated about 6 months ago. I was at a restaurant and they brought out that basket of nice warm bread. And I was like, I'm just going to have a piece.
Yeah.
And I had two because there were those tiny little pieces. I was so miserable the next day. I had a headache. I had body joints just everywhere. I was achy, like almost flu feeling.
Wow.
And then I went, oh, I ate bread last night.
Yeah, I've heard that from people too. And you don't realize how bad you currently feel until you take it away and then reintroduce it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was with my chiropractor recently and I'm like, you know what? Cause I used to have not migraines, but I used to have headaches a couple times a month, like not terrible, take me out, but just annoying. And I haven't had one in over a year. And we finally put that together as well, that that's probably from cutting out gluten. So our bodies really are telling us everything. We just have to listen. And that's where yoga can come in, right? Yoga can help us with that interoception.
All of that. And sometimes our bodies, you know, starts as a whisper, but then eventually it's screaming, you know, or turning into other issues until we finally pay attention.
And what's the saying? Like, if we don't take time for wellness, our body will force us to make time for illness.
Well, I
something to that effect. That.
Yeah, I actually, this is unrelated, but I fell, just slipped on the ice in January and broke my ankle. And I was laid up for 6 to 8+ weeks and sitting on the couch. I'm like, I have a very busy life. I have two small children.
Right.
And it was the break I needed as to take care of myself. It was a huge wake up call.
Yep. And anyone that's familiar with my history, I fell on the ice. I landed on my head in 2014 and suffered a traumatic brain injury. And I was already into like the law of attraction and manifesting. And I'm like, okay, universe, you literally hit me over the head. What am I meant to learn from this? Yeah. And it took me a good year. I was too, excuse me. I was too broken to be able to see it for a good year. And then it became really clear to me I was meant to do like advocacy work. But yeah, like it was just like, okay, universe, what is this? And a lot of people get angry or mad when something happens and they're laid up for 6 to 8 weeks or longer in my case.
Well, believe me.
Yeah, right. We get pissed off. We're like, oh my God, I have shit to do. But it's our body telling us something. And sometimes it's just telling you to slow down.
And I took it after the anger, I took it as a spiritual retreat.
Yes.
I took time to plan my business and meditate more and, you know, figure out how to continue to incorporate those things in my life once I got mobile again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yoga was a huge part of my recovery. Like I had no idea up until that point, yoga had just been like something I did. Right. Like and at that point it was like, okay, yoga really can help us heal. And that was really the turning point of my yoga journey was, after my brain injury.
I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything else you wanted to discuss with Ayurvedic health? Anything we didn't touch on that you wanted to make sure we mention?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say there's really something for everyone in Ayurveda. When I say Ayurveda, there's like, I have a picture in one of my slides that I give a presentation. There's about 10 different aspects surrounding Ayurveda. So there's yoga, there's diet and lifestyle, there's, I mean, when we say lifestyle, that's a huge bucket. Like,
right. Way into
that. It's different than your, oh, exercise more. And, you know, it's, there's so many very specific things. There's something called Marma. It's basically what has turned into acupressure points. Mm-hmm. There's Jyotish, which is Ayurvedic astrology. There's Vastu Shastra, which basically the placement of items. So it's like feng shui.
Yes.
There's meditation. There's so many other sensory therapy is huge. So using our taking care of our senses is a really big deal. And I practice Reiki as well. And so like that fell into that bucket and the essential oils I use fall into that bucket and just all of our senses doing specific things and spirituality. You know, I always like to say as a disclaimer that some people are like, well, Ayurveda is like Hindu or it's, you know,
right,
tied to religion. And, you know,
same with yoga.
I mean, and the same thing is, yes, they evolved from the same text as what is now Hinduism, but they all branched off. So there is a spiritual connection, but it's not under a specific religion. So some of my clients are Catholic and I meet, you know, we meet you where you're at in your spiritual journey. So there's nothing specific from an Ayurvedic standpoint about spirituality or religion. It's kind of meets you where you're at.
Yeah. As I remember, was that the early 2000s when Eat, Pray, Love first came out, the book by Elizabeth Gilbert? Mm-hmm. And I had bought it. I took it with me to Costa Rica on a retreat. And I was like, so hesitant to read it because it said pray. Right. And I just everybody that saw it on my sitting on my lap, they're like, oh, that's such a good book. And I was so skeptical to open it up. But like within the first few pages, she lays out there, you know, whatever you call it, whether it's God, Buddha, whatever, it might just be spirituality, you know, and she doesn't ever refer to God in the book, right? It was just whatever you call it. It might be meditation for you. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I absolutely loved the book. But I just remember being so like hesitant. And I think that is how some people feel about yoga and Ayurveda, because they've at some point been told that it's a religion. Yeah. And that's a whole other conversation, but where that stems from. But yeah, so I mean, anyone listening who has been curious, you know, just know it's not tied to any religion. It's just asking you to go deeper in whatever it is that you believe in.
100%.
All right. So Tiffany, I want to wrap up and make sure that we discuss your website and how people can get in touch with you. Your website is omshantiwellnessmn.com, and there is a clickable link in the show notes wherever you are listening to this. So you can find the direct link there. But tell us a little bit about what people can find on your website, how to work with you.
Yeah. You know, my website explains, you know, what Ayurveda is. I have a little video up there. I tried not to make it too complicated, but there's so many things to offer. I'm going to start a club. It's going to be starting soon. It's a year-long membership format where people can join the membership and together with other like-minded people go through a wellness journey. We go deeper into Ayurveda. It'll be a mix of, you know, me telling you things about Ayurveda and then conversations. And so we can share with each other about twice a month. And then in between getting together in person, if it works out to learn, I don't know, it could be anything from learning how to make ghee or having a yoga class or whatever people want. So that is one option if you want to go deeper into Ayurveda. And people can enroll anytime after September. It is September, but September 20th or later. So that information is there. I have a booking calendar. I see clients on Zoom, in person, their home, my home. The first visit is 3 hours. So we really go in depth. It's not just like a 20-minute doctor visit, you know.
Yeah.
All the time. We talk about everything. and then each follow-up is an hour long or so. Right now, I'm kind of deciding what I'm going to do with my yoga teaching. It kind of was difficult after the pandemic to get people back in person. So I'm looking at potential partnerships with some yoga studios, and we'll see where that goes. I'm planning a trip to India, and hopefully that'll be a yearly thing where I guide people on a retreat to India. This time it's going to be focused on yoga. Maybe the next time it'll be hiking or something, but I've got a lot of ideas going on. And then I also make products like essential oil roll-ons and lotions and all sorts of things. And that's kind of where my pharmacy background comes into handy too.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot. It's great. And I hope that answered your question.
Yeah.
About what you can find and how to get a hold of me.
Well, wonderful. Tiffany, thank you so much for being here and just sharing with our listeners today.
You're welcome. This has been a joy. I really appreciate the opportunity, Amy.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you're listening to help others on their wellness journey discover this podcast. And head over to mnyogalife.com and join our email list to stay in the know of local events, the upcoming yoga conference, and so much more. Thank you all for listening. Have a great day, and I will see you in the next episode.